So one of the purposes of today's meeting was to talk to you about how we're looking and evaluating some of the project delivery risks that we see before this project. We have talked about a number of areas, and one of them is additional new funding. Yes, we are consistently looking for additional new funding. Under every rock, you can be sure that your staff and our project sponsors are working together to try to find funding for this project. And luckily, it's a very appealing project and has incredible benefits, so we have been competitive. But the number of options for new funding are limited, particularly in the time frame that we're talking about, and try to aligning the federal any new funding with existing grant deadlines. So it's clear to us, and we've communicated this to you at your last meeting and as part of our report today, that this project, the Coastal Rail Trail Projects 8 through 11, do need additional funding for final design. So that's a near-term need. And they also need funding for construction, which is, I mean, it's not really a long-term need because we're talking about 2027, but it's not next year. We do need some assurances, though, that we'll have a funding plan to be able to deliver these projects. Another key important piece to note is that existing grants don't provide funding for cost increases. So it's very different for me to be before you and knowing the agreements that the city and the county have with the California Transportation Commission for the Active Transportation Program funds, as well as the awarded federal funds through the RACE program. They don't allow for cost increases. I'd like to, I wish I was Caltrans to be before you asking for additional funding. I couldn't help but add that in there as I wrote my report this morning, but that's the agreement we have with our state and federal funding partners. So also the new federal, state and federal funding is scarce and it's hard to obtain. The active transportation program cycle that where segments 8 and 11 were awarded was significantly greater than what we see coming forward through that program in the future. So funding is scarce. And then, as I mentioned, challenge aligning any new funding that we might obtain with the existing grant deadlines. Next slide, please. I touched on this a little bit, but another delivery risk is our schedule. I know we've been bringing this information to you. At the state level, they refer to it as use it or lose it deadlines. That's something that we and all of your local project sponsors deal with when they receive state funding, is that they are very strict on setting deadlines for using your funding. And I think it's something that as you as commissioners, when you award discretionary funding, you're also looking at when are the funds going to be used by these projects. So it's very strict. There are options for extensions, but they are subject to approval by funding agencies. So it's not something that we can just request and assume is going to occur. It will be scrutinized just like our agency would scrutinize any changes to funding requests by local project sponsors. And then what we've really seen in the work that the project sponsors from the city and the county have done in their current analysis is that escalation is really a huge factor in what we're dealing with in our project cost increases. So any delays we anticipate will continue to increase project costs. Next slide, please. So we, in the bulk of the report that was in the packet was looking at project phasing options. These aren't the only options that are possible, but they were the work of looking at what would be a logical termini, what are the project benefits that we're providing to the community, what's the importance of a continuous facility throughout our county, what are risks to our previously awarded funds potentially, and the viability of funding, which would be subsequent or future phases if we were to shorten the length of the project. Next slide, please. And then I think it's important also to talk about the assumptions, because we are working with a lot of assumptions right now. We haven't made a formal request for a change in scope. So it's us kind of using the information that your staff and partnership with our other project sponsors, you know, using the information we have and working with our directors to make some assumptions about what might happen. So we're assuming under these scenarios that the granting agency would actually approve a scope change, which is not guaranteed. We also are assuming that the scope change must occur within the approved project area, which we've seen that in the past with other projects. I haven't seen a complete shift in where the funds go within your county. And that we're assuming a proportional reduction in funding, and we're looking at through trail miles versus dollars awarded. Next slide, please. So This slide, the next few slides are really intended to kind of orient you to how we might address a scope change proposal to our funding agencies. So this is the current project that you can see. Segment 8 and 9 are shown in blue, and 10 and 11 are shown in green. And it extends approximately 6.5 miles from the city of Santa Cruz to State Park. Next slide, please. So the, we called these different options. So option A is kind of the least amount of reduction in mileage that we looked at, where we could still provide project benefits and try to work within some of the funding we have. This would extend the project from the city of Santa Cruz out to 47th Avenue. And as noted in the staff report, this option still is not feasible within the estimated Measure D available revenues through the life of the measure. So we really tried to figure out, okay, how can we maintain the most miles possible, the most benefit, and limit the amount of grant funding reduced. But even under this scenario, when we looked at our financial scenarios, we weren't able to pencil it out with what we anticipate for future Measure D active transportation revenues over the life of the measure. Next slide. So here you can see it further reduces the length of the trail and tries to continue to focus the investment in some of the most populated areas of our county, so to continue to provide those project benefits. Although this scenario reduces the total project cost when considering the proportional reduction in grant funding, we still are right up against that constrained amount of funding available. Constrained amount of revenues that we expect to be available over the life of Measure D when you consider not only the funding gap for the project, but also the financing needs over the period of the measure. And I guess I didn't point it out with the last slide, which I should have, is in all of these situations, you're assuming that future phases of the project would still need to be funded and that we would no longer have an identified funding source for those phases. So I did note that in the report, kind of a general cost estimate for future phases and what a local match might be required. We really assume a 20% match to the project cost, but the higher the match you have, the more competitive you are. We've seen that with a number of programs. Some programs don't require a match, but most of them do. So we utilize a 20% as our assumed minimum match for these projects. So one of the other things we talked about was some of the granting agencies, if they were to consider a scope change like that, would also require the project sponsors to commit to programming future funding. And that's a challenge for us if we're looking at a scenario under which Measure D is fully expended over its life. Next slide. And then here was the option C. And this was one that when we took a look at it through the Measure D financial analysis, we could fund with anticipated Measure D revenues. It would leave approximately $20 million in Measure D available for future phases of the project to serve as a match or for projects to be developed in other portions of the county. However, it does build only about 1.5 miles of the initial 6.5 miles anticipated in the project. So that's kind of the different ways that we looked at these options, is the feasibility through Measure D is also maximizing the number of miles. It's important for me to mention that these are all examples and they're based on a number of assumptions. So we're not asking you today to program additional funds, but we want to give you kind of an idea of order of magnitude as what we're thinking about and how to continue to hold on to as much of that state and federal funding that we can and also deliver the project to the community. None of the options in terms of the financial analysis that was provided in the staff report assume that the city would get the Safe Streets for All grants. So that would be additional $20 million if they are awarded that funding that could help to support these projects. And then I mentioned this when I was talking about the assumptions, but I just want to point it out. For example, in this option C, segment 8 and 9, all of the funding would be focused from 8 to 9 when it was awarded to 8, 9, 10, 11. So we're making the assumption that the California Transportation Commission would allow us to shift the funds to a different project. So there's a number of assumptions, and I'm happy to, of course, answer any questions as we go through the rest of the presentation. Next slide. There's a lot of numbers on this slide, and I want to just focus on the last row, and it's what I mentioned to you in talking about the financial feasibility of these projects. If you go to the very bottom right, that $21 million, that's what I was talking about in terms of the balance that we might anticipate should option C be the pursued, and it was the scope change was approved by the CTC and all those other assumptions made, but that's really the scenario under which we would have a program balance in Measure D going forward. And then if you look at this, the first green column, option A, you can kind of see that contrasted where we're oversubscribed. And the other important thing to note here is the assumptions regarding Measure D active transportation category expenditures assume we do continue with corridor maintenance, but it does not assume trail maintenance as funded by RTC beyond in the current five-year plan. Next slide. So in terms of next steps, we were trying to keep you informed as these projects move forward and the costs are updated on an ongoing basis. So as you saw in attachment one of the staff report, you can see how the costs have increased over time. And so we're tracking that. And then we are identifying what the funding gap is today. But we'll continue to do that in coordination with our project sponsors as design changes, as the economy changes, as the bidding environment changes, we'll continue to update project cost estimates. But where we are now is at a juncture where we need to move forward with our final design and we have a funding gap. So one of the ways that we've looked at addressing that is RTC staff put together an application to address that funding gap through the consolidated grant program. That's being evaluated and recommendations along with all the other projects from your local jurisdictions will be brought to the RTC in November. But there is a risk if we don't continue to move forward with final design this fall. And then also we need to work with you to come up with a funding plan for construction so that we have some certainty as we move forward to the design that we'll be able to deliver these projects. Next slide. And this was a slide just to kind of give you an idea. People have asked us what portion of fundings have been going to different parts of the county and the city and portions of to the region and where how they've been distributed. So you can see the majority of the funds to date have been distributed to the city and county of Santa Cruz. And we have had also a significant portion are focused on corridor maintenance, which is really important for maintaining our asset. There's some funding has been dedicated to the city of Watsonville as well. As you know, we're moving forward using the project concept report on some alignment development for the trails in and around the city of Watsonville. And then also the regional portion of the North Coast Trail that's under development. Next slide. Oh, I think that's it. Thank you. Happy to take any questions. So-